Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our favorite parables of the staff, favorite parable stories of the staff is continuing. And today is Beth Johnson's favorite. Beth is the director of our weekday learning center and has been the director for some 24 years. And her favorite parable is the parable of the lost sheep. And somehow that just feels right to me. But before we get into the parable, I want to share with you a great example of this parable. So we have on several occasions talked about the origins of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I have shared with you that most scholars, that's certainly not unanimous, but most scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark was written quite a bit earlier than Matthew and Luke, and that the authors of Matthew and Luke basically had a copy of Mark sitting in their lap as they were writing their Gospels. And I've also shared with you that scholars have theorized a second source for the authors of Matthew and Luke, and it's called the Book of Q. It comes from the German word quell, which means knowledge, but they just call it the Book of Q. And it is believed to be basically a book of sayings of Jesus, as if somebody was following around and Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep, and so they wrote it down. And so scholars believe that this book was also a source for both Matthew and Luke. Now, if you go home and you Google Q, the Book of Q, you can actually buy a copy of the book. But let me tell you, it ain't the real book. It is a speculative thing of things that are included in this Book of Q. But I tell you all of this because today's parable is an excellent example of perhaps that Q source. Because today's parable only occurs in Matthew and in Luke. It doesn't show up in Mark. It doesn't show up in John. It's just in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. So it is quite likely that this came from that Q source. Now, the interesting thing about this is while it occurs almost word for word the same in Matthew and Luke, they actually use it quite differently. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, Matthew is using it to talk about church members who leave the church, who maybe have some dispute or whatever, and leave the church and then are coming back. And so the parable of the lost sheep is, for Matthew, that. And it's about believers who maybe have fallen away and have come back. And then he goes on later in the chapter there, he talks about sort of the discipline of church conflict. Now in Luke, we're going to read from Luke today, from the 15th chapter. Luke uses it as one of three parables that just are right in a row about lost things that are found. They're using them quite differently, but it's the same story. And so if you at all buy into this two-source theory, the Gospel of Matthew and Luke using this Book of Q, this is a great example of that. So if you're ever doing Bible studies and you're looking for that, remember that this parable of the lost sheep is a good example of that potential of Q. So this parable is Beth Johnson's favorite, and so let's hear from Beth about why it's her favorite parable.
So my favorite parable is the parable of the lost sheep, and to me it's my favorite because it represents all of us. We're all God's sheep, and as humans, we're you can compare us with sheep. You probably don't want to be compared with a sheep. However, you know, we just tend to sometimes wander off on our own. And it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just because we get busy with day-to-day life. We're going in many different directions. We got a ton of things to check off of our list. And then we figure out that we've gone too far. We've gone too far away from where we need to be. But Jesus always knows where we are. He knows each one of us. He knows what we need. He knows the direction we need to go. And he's always waiting there to come get us, to find us, and to bring us back to where we need to be. Sometimes we get off track because we think we know more than what God needs for us to know. Sometimes we think that we can do it all by ourselves, and we don't need him to help us to get in the places that he needs for us to be, or to take care of us in the way that we need to be taken care of, or for us to take care of others. But the cool thing about the parable to me is that, you know, it's just one little sheep that gets lost. And he leaves all of them behind for that one sheep. To know that I am that special, that he would come looking for me. To know that I am that important, that he would come looking for me. To know that I am that loved, that he would come looking for me. That is the coolest and the most awesome part of the whole thing for me. And that's why it is my most favorite parable.
I don't know how you feel about being compared to a sheep, but it's quite common that we are compared to sheep. And when I was in seminary, I was reading a book about the pastoral ministry, and basically the gist of the title was When Sheep Bite. So it was kind of an interesting comparison of sheep, because we, as your pastors, sometimes are compared to being shepherds. So let's dig into our scripture a little bit today. So it comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and the chapter starts off with the scribes and the Pharisees grumbling about the fact that Jesus hangs out with sinners and tax collectors. Now, let me remind you that a tax collector was somebody that was a part of the Jewish tradition, but was sort of helping the occupier. And they were not particularly well regarded in Jewish circles, because they would often over-collect, and some of that would end up in their pocket. So if you owed 20 shekels to the Roman government, they might collect 30. Guess who pockets the difference? The tax collector. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were grumbling that Jesus was hanging out with them. And as Jesus so often does, he responds to their grumbling, their questioning, with a story. This is 15 verses 3 through 7. So he told them this parable: which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. So the Pharisees have been grumbling, and Jesus tells them this story. Now, this is a story that everyone would have understood. We've lost sort of our agrarian roots, and so this doesn't really quite stick with us like it would the original hearers of this, because they all had flocks, or they all knew people who had flocks. Now, in those days, flocks of sheep were often communal. They might belong to a whole village. And the shepherd was personally responsible for the safety of each of those sheep. And we read elsewhere in Scripture that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And likewise, the shepherd knew each sheep individually. And it was not uncommon for a shepherd to leave the sheep that he knew were accounted for and go hunting for the one that was lost. Now, oftentimes the sheep would be put up for the evening in a sheepfold, a place that was a safe place for them to be, so he wasn't quite leaving them completely open and exposed. And oftentimes the shepherd slept in the gate of this sheepfold. And so it is a story that the hearers of that would have immediately understood. The story goes that he goes out and he finds the lost sheep. He comes back. He calls his friends and they rejoice. Now, I confess to you, some weeks ago when I was sharing my favorite parable with you, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, about how unfair I thought it was that the people who stayed only got a day's wage and everybody else got a day's wage. Well, that same spirit reveals itself here. I'm like, well, I'm the 99. Aren't I special? Don't I count for something? I don't know about you, but when I read that text, that spirit comes up within me of, if I'm the 99, aren't I special too? I don't know if that happens to you, but it does to me as I read this text. Well, let's talk for a second about who are the lost. Who are the lost? Now, that's an English word, lost, and like many of the words in our language, it depends on how you use it as to how someone is lost. It can mean that you don't know where you are. You are lost. It can mean that you don't know where you are going. You are lost. It can mean that you don't have a clue. They are lost. It can mean someone that is completely oblivious to what is going on around them. They are lost. It can also mean that you are not where you belong. I walk into the wrong classroom. I am lost. I may be able to find my way, but for that moment, I am lost. In the English language, it also can mean that you are going to hell. We have come to use this word lost to describe people who don't know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We are saying when we call those people the lost that they're gone. But the truth is, nothing can be further from the truth that these people are lost. God is looking for them. We have our understanding as Methodists of prevenient grace, this constant calling and wooing of God to all of his children, whether they're oblivious to his calls and his wooing or not. God is always trying to call people back into relationship with him. These ones that we call lost, they are not yet lost. They still can be found. They can still be included. They can still be a part of the flock. Now, some scholars make the argument that the lost in this story are exactly what Matthew had talked about, people who had left the church, left the community, and have come back. I don't know who the lost really are in this story. But here's what I do know. Each one of us tends to wander. We wander off because we're busy with our life and we're not paying attention to our walk with Christ. And we look up and we find ourselves lost outside the wall in the story that Leanne told us about the little kid. We can easily find ourselves having wandered off because we weren't paying attention. And we have seasons in our life where we feel like we're wandering around in the desert, like that connection with God is just missing. These moments in time when we're in a spiritual desert. That happens to us all, and it happens because we have wandered off from the light of Christ, or we just can't feel that connection. Or there even might be times in our life where we're angry with God because of the circumstances of our life, because of the tragedy that has befallen our family or myself, or the diagnosis that I have received. We can find ourselves being angry with God and maybe even shutting ourselves off from God. We can find ourselves having wandered off. The truth is, we are all prone to wander. But there are two truths from this story that I want you to walk away with. The first truth from this parable is that there is great rejoicing in heaven whenever anyone returns to the fold. And I think the rejoicing is the same if it's the first time or the fifth time that you have returned to the fold. And I love this idea that the God of the universe has a party when somebody comes home to the flock. I can see heaven rejoicing because someone has come home, because someone has been returned. All the world are children of God. And God wants all of his children to be at home with him and have that right relationship with him. The second truth is that God loves you enough to know you are missing and to go looking for you. I don't know about you, but that really kind of makes my mind go pfft. To think the God of the universe, the God who spoke things into existence, knows when I have wandered off and will come and look for me. How precious you are in the sight of God that he would come hunting for you. But here's the deal. You might be a part of the 99 that have not wandered off very far. But the truth of the situation is that you might be a part of the search party that God has sent out to find those that are lost. God might be using you to go out into the world and help find those that don't know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Or maybe those who are angry with God because of some circumstances in their life. Maybe you, through your love and your grace, can be the means by which they return to the sheepfold, come back into the flock. Your God loves you so much that he died on a cross that you might be forgiven, that you might have eternal life. He loves you so much, he knows when you've run off, and he will come looking for you. He might send somebody else to come help find you, but he is looking for you. So if you've wandered off, if you feel like God is far away, know that God is looking for you and wants you to return home. And if you're walking closely with God, so let me remind you, you're part of the search party. It is through your love and your grace and your testimony of faith that people will come home to where they belong, in a right relationship with God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have gathered here to praise your name. We are amazed that no matter how far we roam, you will come looking for us, that you will recognize that we have wandered off, and you love us enough to come find us, that you will send your people to come and help find us. And Father, if we're a part of that search party, we ask that you would let us be a beacon of love and grace, that people might see us, see in us you and your unending love for your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.